ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 14, Text 11. Adyanta Vanta Ivaisham. Loka Karma Vinirmita. Dukodhar kastamonishta Shudra manda sucharpita Aryanta vanta evaisham Loka karma vinirmita Dukodhar kastamonishta Shudra manda sucharpita Aryanta vanta vaisyam Loka karma vinirmita Dukodhar kastamonishta Shudra manda sucharpita Amen. Ladies,
Adya Antavanta, Adya Antavanta Evaisham,
Adya Antavanta Evaisham,
Loka Karma Vinirmita,
Loka Karma Vinirmita, Dukodakasamonishta, Shudra Manda Sucharpita. Adyanta Vanta Evaisham Loka Karma Vinirmita Dukodarkastamonishta Shudra Manda Sucharpita Adyanta Vanta Evaisham Loka Karma Vinirmita Dukho Darkastamonishta Shudramanda Sucharpita Word for word Adyanta Vanta Possessed in a beginning and end. Eva, undoubtedly. Esham, of them. The materialistic. Lokaha, achieved destinations. Karma, by one's material work. Vinirmitaha, produce dukkha, misery. Udarkaha, bringing as the future result. Tamaha, ignorance. Nishtaha, situated in. Shudraha, meager.
Mandaha.
Wretched.
Shusha.
With lamentation.
Arpitaha.
Filled. Translation. All the persons I have just mentioned obtain temporary fruits from their material work. Indeed, the meager and miserable situations they achieve bring future unhappiness and are based on ignorance. Even while enjoying the fruits of their work, such persons are filled with lamentation. Please repeat. All the persons I have just mentioned obtain temporary fruits from their material work. Indeed, the meager and miserable situations they achieve
bring future unhappiness
and are based on ignorance.
Even while enjoying the fruits of their work,
such persons are filled with lamentation. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace. Those who have grasped temporary material things, mistaking them to be ultimate reality, are not considered very intelligent by anyone except themselves. Such foolish persons are always in anxiety, because by the laws of nature, the very fruits of their work are constantly be transformed in ways neither desired nor expected. The performer of Vedic rituals can elevate himself to heavenly planets, whereas one who is atheistic has the privilege of transforming himself to hell. The entire panorama of material existence is actually uninteresting and dull. Mandaha. One can make no real progress within the material world. Therefore, one should take to Krishna consciousness and prepare oneself to go back home, back to Godhead. Om Gyana Tirmanasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Saksham Kanvina Tasma Shigadeva Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayarupam Dadariswa Parantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Rita Dalada Shri Vasudeva. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So sorry about that little last day, really. I took the Bhagavatam to study it and I completely forgot it. In this Kali Yuga, our memory is short-lived. So, Lord Krishna is given Uddhava a historical account of how the original teachings of the Vedas have come to the state it was at the end of Dwapara Yuga. Because Uddhava had asked, well, there are so many philosophies out there, propagated by all these different philosophers. Is there an ideal one that one can take to and follow? And then Lord Krishna gave a nice historical perspective, whereby he said after the end of Brahma's day, Brahma's night, then there's recreation. And after recreation, he spoke the knowledge to Brahma, who spoke it to his son, Manu. Can we say which Manu that was? Swayambhuva Manu. That was the first Manu in this day of Brahma. And after that, Manu spoke it to the sages, and
demigods and so forth, and then the knowledge came through gradually. But with time, it become very distorted. Because it's a long time from the beginning of Brahma's day to now, 6 manus have passed, which is 6 manus. Each manu reigns for over 300 million years. So we're talking almost 2 billion years. This knowledge was coming through the disciplic succession. Of course, that would also be the age of the earth. But from the scientific perspective, the earth is 4.5 billion years. So either they have to redo their calculation, or we have to also maybe analyze our calculation. Because sometimes for some of these things, we could, even though, you know, we don't really like the scientists because they're leading the world towards atheism. Some of the discoveries help us to evaluate what we have within the material world. And for example, with the Earth being 4.5 billion years, we have it just at 2 billion or something close. That's quite close. Like other philosophers and other religion and so forth has it at 5,000 years old or 10,000 years old and so forth. So that's not even close, really. But if we calculate that the earth was created at just before Brahma Muhurta hour, like at 1 a.m. in the morning, then that would definitely be close to 4 billion years. If you calculate it at Brahma's day, the earth started at 1 a.m. of his day, then it would certainly. So that's good. So anyhow, so with this vast amount of time, and each man who lives for over 300 million years, so it's a long time. And at the end of each man who's reign, there is what's called a deluge, or like a flood. So what happens there too? Well, if you have a flood, then so many things become displaced and distorted. Sometimes, like recently, we had this hurricane and we just had some blackout and so forth, and there was so much panic and everything. There were a little flood and so forth, but just imagine the whole earth is flooded at the end of Manu's reign, of one of the Manus, say Swayambhuva. Then imagine what happens to you. And so then the knowledge at that time was being heard. You know, it's true song. One sage speak it to the audience and everyone remember. Until the end of Dwarpa Yuga, all the knowledge was just being remembered. There was no scripture. The scripture is just within their heads. See? So it was word and mouth, and then sometimes what you call there is sometimes some form of addition or subtraction from the original text. And so this brings about some precariousness within the with the Vedic knowledge. So Lord Krishna is explaining all these different philosophers would propagate their philosophies. And so with such a vast amount of time, the original knowledge is lost. You see, because the goal of the Vedas is to know Krishna. What Lord Krishna say? Sarvasam Chaham read Sanvisto. Of all the Vedas, I am to be known. See? So if after Studying the Vedas, understanding the Vedas, we cannot come to this conclusion, then definitely there is distortion within the conclusions of the Vedic Siddhanta. And so Lord Krishna explains how all the demigods and all the other beings, Kinaras, Charanas, Gandharvas, Siddhas and so forth, they took the knowledge and spread it in the different planets. But usually we tend to focus more on the earth planet. There's two interesting points that we need to know. Usually when the Bhagavatam is spoken, it's about all occurrences that took place at this day of Brahma. And the other point is about events that took place on this planet Earth. So these are two fundamental points we need to understand really. And so, you know, whatever took place in the heavenly planets, whatever were their philosophies and stuff, we're not so concerned, but we're concerned with the philosophy that takes place on earth and how it was disseminated by the sages. In Satyug, the whole world followed the Vedic tradition. Satyug, Treta Yug, Dwapara Yug. Basically, the whole world was following. So there was nothing like Christianity, Islam, Buddhism. These only came about in Kali Yuga. And so if we analyze just within this short period of time of 5,000 years. So what is clear from Satyug to the end of Dwapara Yug, the whole world was following Vedic culture. I mean, there are evidences, almost every country there, you know, murtis and different things you can excavate. So that's there. But from the beginning of Kali Yuga, not even quite the beginning of Kali Yuga, but with the advent of Christianity, Buddhism, and Islam, then there are so many doubts start to take place. Well, you know, whether the world, what they were following before, and so forth. But so within this short time, we've seen that there are so many different conclusions of the scriptures. Christianity came roughly around 2,000 years. And within that time, there's already like 2,000 denominations. Buddhism, about 3,000 years. And there's quite a few denominations. See? And we can see how the whole world has been affected. More than over 2 billion years, or 2 billion people are actually Christians. See, so they have their own set of philosophies. Then you have another 2 billion that are Islamic. They have a different set of philosophy. Then you have the Buddhists, close to 1 billion. See? And then from Bharatvarsh, where the original Vedic culture and understanding came, we barely have like over 1 billion followers of Vedic culture. And then the rest of the world is like atheism and so forth. See? So we can see how this original knowledge has been distorted from time to time until it comes to this state. Well, Lord Krishna was speaking about that state presently. And so he, in Bhagavad Gita, also another point we should make, apart from him explaining the Vedic knowledge to Brahma, he later on explained it to Vivashvan, right? He explained it to Vivashvan, who was the sun god.
think there's a verse to that, that thing. He explained it to the sun god. Okay. Imam Vivasvati Yogam. Praktavam Aham Avyayam. So Lord Krishna, I instructed Vivashvan, who instructed Manu, who instructed Ikshvaku. See? And so, even though Lord Krishna had spoken the Vedic knowledge to Lord Brahma in the Satyog and Swayambhuva Manu's reign, we've seen that now again he spoke it to the sun god, which was 120 million years, roughly, because the sun god's son was Vaivashvata Manu. Vaivashvata Manu, that's the name, Prana. he is the reigning Manu, who have reigned for like 28 Mahayugas already. So he spoke that knowledge, and then he's telling Arjuna that after he spoke that knowledge, right now the knowledge seems to be lost, to have been lost. So knowledge of pure Krishna consciousness at the beginning of this day of Manu was lost during the time of Bhagavad Gita. And so we can conclude that the tendency is, with time, with this vast amount of time, because usually we live for what? At least in this age, 100 years. But even within the other ages, men live for a long, long time. And the process of following the Vedic culture was also different, because that was essential because of the lifespan of the people. The lifespan of the people, the intelligence of the people, and so forth. It's the Prayana Pali Shaha, Kalvasme Yoga, Yana, Manda Samanda Matam. Manda Bhagi Hi Upadruta. Please don't laugh my Sanskrit. So it's stated here that in Kali Yuga, men are short lived, right? Always disturbed. Little intelligence, misguided, and so forth. See? So, because of all of this, then the Yuga Dharma has to be changed for this age also. We cannot apply what was applied in the previous ages. And so, so the Yuga Dharma for this age is chanting of the holy names, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalam, Naste, Vanaste, Vanaste, Eva Gatiranitaha. See, in this age of Kali Yuga, there's no other way but chanting of the holy names. See? So coming to this specific verse and point that Lord Krishna is making, that all these different philosophies of philosophers expounded different philosophies. So there's some essential verse from the Bhagavad Gita that Lord Krishna explains. Yamimam pushpitam vacham padvanti avipashchitaha veda vada rata parta nanyad astiti vedina karmatmanaha swargapara janma karma palam pradam. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. Bhogaishvarya prakashnanam tayapavita chetasam vyavyasatmika bhuti samadau na vidyati vidhiyati. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to Krishna does not take place. Therefore, karma jamburi yuktahi
phalam twaktwa maishin manishina. The wise who engage in devotional service free themselves of birth and death by renouncing the fruits of actions. In this way, they can attain that state beyond all miseries. So this is the conclusion of Lord Krishna. When one takes the devotional service, then he's able to cut the bondage of this material world and go back to the spiritual world. Within this purport, it clearly explains the futility of material life. It's true in the truth. Sense gratification is easily available to all the animals. Then the scripture says, why should man pursue what is already available to those? In fact, we take animal bodies to enjoy freely without any reaction. Within the animal kingdom, all the animals, they have specific forms of enjoyment. Some eating, some sleeping. Like, for example, the bear. You know, he could sleep for a good 3-4 months during winter time. Eating, like some of the animals would eat the whole day. Mating, like the monkeys, they would mate every half an hour. You were trained in India, right? You've seen the monkeys. They're you know. So different aspect of sense gratification is allotted to all these different species. But when one comes to the human platform, then he should understand that there's a higher purpose for human life, and so not to. Not to go back to those stages that we've actually came from, because generally spoken, the souls that have gotten human bodies have transmigrated all the plant and animal species, billions, millions and billions of lifetime, and we come to this human species. And then here now it's showing the futility. So Lord Krishna is saying, for those that propagate these philosophies, like for example those that propagate the heavenly planets, like a lot of the Puranas, 6 Puranas in goodness, 6 in passion, and 6 in ignorance, or they propagate this type of philosophies. Lots of them propagate the worship of the devatas. And devatas allow one to go to the heavenly planet. And within the heavenly planet, there's so much enjoyment. So much enjoyment. There's description in different literatures of the, within the heavens. Old age doesn't come. Death comes after a long time. One doesn't perspire. Beautiful, one have beautiful body. There's so many beautiful women you enjoy within the different gardens there, and so forth. So heavenly life is pure sense enjoyment. Pure sense enjoyment. So after one goes to the heaven and he enjoys, then his garland is withered, and then down he falls to this material plane again. You see? And then if he misuses the opportunity for spiritual life, then down he goes to the hellish planets. So here the proponents of atheistic philosophy, they definitely would see, as it's spoken within the purport, hell is their abode, or that's their destination. And we have, you may think that this is seemingly innocent, but and I don't want to bash the scientists, but it's stated that there's almost 73% of college students who believe in evolution right now. 73%. So that's a great fall. And the way it is going, you know, it gradually would go down and down and down. And what evolution means? Evolution means that there is no supreme behind anything. You know, life, how would deteriorate, there are so many different theories, but some of the main ones, adaptation and natural selection and so forth by this foolish Darwin. You know, he just brought up some ideas, and then so many foolish followers kind of pushed that idea. So people that propagate and teach atheistic philosophy, hell is their destination. Because they're misleading others and they're misleading themselves. And definitely. Then also you have the socialist and the communist philosophies, whereby they propagate atheistic philosophy basically. Because what they're saying, worshipping of God and devotion and so forth is a waste of time. Within the communist ideologies, they said it's like, they had an ideal word, like an opium. You know, you God worship and taken to worshiping of the supreme and studying philosophy and so forth. That is like an intoxicant for the useless human beings. See? So there is no place for that in the communist society. Maybe now they're kind of slowing down that kind of ideology. They're curbing it they're accommodating other ideas and so forth. But that was the hardcore standing. See? So the communist philosophy and then you have the socialist philosophy, which was not totally communist, but it's a little materialist and a little uncommunist blend into. But they're also leaning towards that path. So all these proponents of these atheistic philosophies, they're sure heading towards hell. And then you have the hardcore atheist itself, who plainly says he doesn't believe in God. In fact, one time I was in Jacksonville, and this Chinese guy came up to me and said, you seem to be reading a lot. I usually read. So he said, you seem to be reading. What you're reading? You're wasting your time. So I was telling him a little about Krishna consciousness, and he said that is all nonsense, that there's no God, and you're just wasting your time. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I'm quite happy in this state. See, I was really shocked when he spoke like that. I said, well, if you have some time, sit down and we can talk a little. But he said, no, I'm busy. I don't have time really. So I let him go really. So this is the mentality of the atheist. See? And so, Lord Krishna is warning us here that proponents of these philosophies are doomed to hellish life, and their followers also. While speaking to Uddhava also, Lord Krishna explains that he gave a nice analogy that with on the bank of the Ganges, they are also poisonous plants. These plants, they drink the nice, sweet and pure water from the Ganges, but they produce poisonous fruits. And if you take that, what happens? You die or you get sick. So similarly, what he was saying, that philosophers within Vedic culture take the nice pure philosophy that he has expounded to the sages, and they distort it. See? Distorting it. It becomes like like poison. And so sometimes I wonder even within our society if there is such a thing. I mean, one accepts the process of Krishna consciousness, but it then becomes very critical of the devotees, or critical of this system, or critical, and that is a very dangerous path. And so when I read that, what Lord Krishna spoke to Uddhava about, I was thinking like this, that sometimes the proponents within our movement would tend to go out and even criticize what's been done within the movement. I mean, if someone is worthy of criticism, then it's done in a proper channel, a proper way. You don't go and broadcast it out there. If one is disturbed about an authority or a devotee or anything, then it has its proper medium of mediation and so forth. So we have to be careful of these things also. And I don't want to call any group name or anything like that. But we have to be very, very careful. Our original intention is to take up to Krishna consciousness, enlighten ourselves and help to propagate it. But if we fall into that category of becoming very critical, then that is very dangerous for us. If we fall into that category where we isolate ourselves from the temple, and we isolate ourselves from association of devotees, and isolate ourselves from hearing Bhagavatam and so forth, then that's also detrimental, and it's dangerous for our well-being. So I'll stop here if there's any question or correction. Hari Bol Vishvambar Prabhu Naisin. Is it a work in Prana Govinda? Testing it? No problem.
So, what is the aim of an atheistic person who is, you know, feeding people, serving people, maybe vegetarian, maybe meditating, chase to their family, so many things that we would call a good karma.
Good person, yeah.
They don't believe in God.
But he's atheistic. Yeah, there's so his aim, he feels to do good to society, family, friends, and so forth. I would like to recall of a verse, but there are many in Bhagavad Gita. It's just that I'm so weak with verses. But their goal is that they're getting an immediate gratification of doing good. And also they would get some good karma for that. But the result ultimately would be after that piece of good karma is worn out, because he has failed to develop love for God, or he failed to take to the process of God consciousness, then eventually he would fall back into serious hellish conditions. He could fall back even to animal life. You know, if animals cannot understand God, animal life is not even meant for understanding God. You see, they're in complete ignorance. So he would eventually be thrown into ignorance again. Okay, Prabhu. Any other point, Prana Govinda, you want to make some correction? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.